The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, June the 5th, 2017. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 156th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So this week's news stories included: Business Insider ran a piece on the chief investment officer of a $114 billion firm's advice for all investors to read Shakespeare. The Canadian Jewish News ran an interesting think piece on the character of Shylock. Encore ran a piece on Alchemal Theater out of Wilmington, North Carolina, which will put on A Night of the Bard, Bowie, and Beer as a fundraiser for its upcoming production of Much Ado About Nothing. The fundraiser promises songs by Bowie and snippets of Shakespeare. American Theater ran the announcement from American Shakespeare Center of its 2017 summer and fall season, including Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor's Lost, and The Fall of King Henry V, a.k.a. Henry VI Part 3. These will all run at the center's complex in Staunton, Virginia. LEO Weekly ran a great piece on the dramaturg for Kentucky Shakespeare Festival. Good stuff. In a think piece for the stage in the UK, the question is pondered: is Shakespeare still our contemporary? And using recent productions, the author comes out with an affirmative answer. WSET ran a piece on the new production of Romeo and Juliet by Wolfsbane Productions through the end of the month. What makes this of note is not only that it is set in Civil War-era Appomattox, but it is being presented at the Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. The Fayetteville Flyer ran a piece on the run of Love's Labor's Lost by Crude Mechanicals in Fayetteville, Arkansas through the weekend. NJ.com previewed Hudson Shakespeare Company's upcoming production of The Taming of the Shrew, coming to various venues in northern New Jersey. The production is set in 1960s Italy and runs through the end of the month. The Rapidian previewed the upcoming production of Henry V by Pigeon Creek Shakespeare Company at the Dog Story Theater in the latter half of this month in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The BBC ran a piece on the upcoming production of Romeo and Julius, that's right, Julius, via Liverpool's Everyman Theater, where it will run in repertory into July. St. Louis Public Radio previewed the production of The Winter's Tale by Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, running this month in St. Louis, Missouri. Broadway World ran the announcement by Marin Shakespeare Company of this summer's slate of plays, including Much Ado About Nothing and Love's Labor's Lost. The plays will run from June to September in Northern California. The Telegram in England ran an announcement by Worcester Shakespeare Company of their summer slate of plays, including Antony and Cleopatra and Coriolanus. Those plays will run in July and August in Worcester, England. And finally, the Idaho Statesman reviewed Hamlet by Idaho Shakespeare Festival, running in Boise through the end of the month. There are actually two productions, or rather, one production with two different actors, one female, taking on the title role on alternating nights. The reviewer was so impressed that she advises her readers to see both actors at work. Sounds like a great night of theater. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On May the 30th, 1431, Joan of Arc was burned at the stake for heresy, as depicted in the first part of Henry VI. On May 31st, 1443, Margaret Beaufort was born. The great-granddaughter of John of Gaunt, she would live quite the life. She married four times, her first being dissolved before she was even a teen. She would then marry the half-brother of the reigning king, Henry VI. This marriage to Edmund Tudor would produce a child, Henry, born when she was just 13, and already a widow, as Edmund had died while in custody of Yorkist forces in the early years of the Wars of the Roses. She would then marry Harry Stafford, who would widow Margaret in 1471, fighting for the Yorkists. Her last marriage to Henry Stanley further aligned her with the Yorks, who had now taken the throne with Edward IV. When Richard became Richard III, he stripped her of her titles, but she got the last laugh when her son, remember Henry, won the crown from Richard at Bosworth Field and was crowned Henry VII. Like I said, quite the life. On June 1st, 1533, Anne Boleyn was coronated as Queen of England as Henry VIII's second wife, less than a week after his marriage to Catherine of Aragon was voided by an English archbishop. On the same day in 1985, the Japanese samurai film Ran opened. This was Akira Kurosawa's epic adaptation of King Lear after earlier filming Macbeth as Throne of Blood. On June the 2nd, 1420, Henry V married French princess Catherine of Valois. After the post-Agincourt Treaty of Troyes recognized the former Prince Hal as regent and the heir to the throne of France and arranged for the royal wedding. On June the 3rd, 1397, William de Montacute, 2nd Earl of Salisbury, died. Salisbury fought under both Edward, Black Prince of Wales, and John of Gaunt in the Hundred Years' War. On June the 4th, two film versions of Julius Caesar were released. The 1953 Joseph Mankiewicz screen adaptation with Marlon Brando opened in the U.S., and in 1970, the version directed by Stuart Burge and starring Charlton Heston opened in the U.K. On June the 5th, 1341, Edmund of Langley, 1st Duke of York, was born. Edmund was an advisor to Richard II, but resigned his post, siding with Bolingbroke and helping him usurp the crown and become Henry IV. Also on June 5th, but in 1607, Susanna Shakespeare, Willie Shakespeare's daughter, married Dr. John Hall in Stratford. And that was your very busy week in Shakespeare. You have been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending June the 5th, 2017. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the Real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we'll catch you next week. Shakespeare fans, need a poster to hang in your room? Teachers, need some nifty handouts for your students to peruse as you introduce them to the Bard? Or are you just in the mood for some printable versions of some of the cool infographics found on this website? Well, regardless of how you answered those questions, I've got a scratch for that itch, a solution for that problem. Check out the Bill Shakespeare Project page on the Teachers Pay Teachers website. You can find character maps for Romeo and Juliet and Julius Caesar, previewing the characters and their relationships to one another. I've also got geographical maps so your students can wrap their heads around travels within the plays Troilus and Cressida. Yes, even TNC gets some love. All's Well That Ends Well as well. See what I did there? Plus Pericles and Othello. There's also handouts on the so-called history in Macbeth and Julius Caesar, time in Romeo and Juliet, and violence in Titus Andronicus. Also, you'll find entire packets of handouts for both King Lear and Macbeth, including scene-by-scene timelines and the interactions as well as relationships between the characters. And I'll be adding even more soon. Plus, this is where you can find the printable version of the new and improved periodic table of Shakespeare. Some of these are for free, and some are for purchase, but all can be found on the Bill Shakespeare Project page on teacherspayteachers.com. Oh, and if you want to purchase a pre-printed poster-sized version of that periodic table, well then head on over to the Bill Shakespeare Project page on redbubble.com. Links to both of these sites can be found in the left-hand margin of this website.